Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Akuluma Podcast. We talk. It's Nico here. I'm so excited to be here today because I'm going to be hosting the Growth Human Ecology Podcast in Glasgow 2023. And I'm going to be talking to the very, 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 very important guest here, one of the organizers, one of the people keep us going during the course, and our guest, Annie. So now I'm going to just hand over to Luke. Please take us through. Tell me what degrowth and human ecology means to you.
Thanks, Nico. Well, for me, degrowth is quite a fluid word, so it can mean we spent a lot of time in the course looking at different definitions of it, different meanings of it in terms of like planned reduction of socially and ecologically harmful economic activity and throughput and these more technical definitions. But there's also what does degrowth mean in terms of our own work and practice and how that can be part of a bigger movement for change. So for me it's about, and what we tried to do with the course was build a network of people interested in what's going on in the world, wanting to, like, you know, recognizing that the way things are going doesn't work for enough people, it marginalizes people, and it's undermining the basis for life on Earth, and inviting people to come up with creative responses to that and to learn more about it together as a community. And that's where the human ecology comes in. So the human ecology as in the relationship between cultural, natural and social systems, how do we impact ecological systems and how do they impact us? To me, that's how you would practice human ecology and degrowth. So that's what it means to me, and I've been really impressed and amazed by what everyone has contributed to the course. I remember being around the campfire with you, yeah, Nico, yes. Hosting the Kaylee and keeping us all on our toes, keeping the energy flowing and inviting everyone to take part. So to me, that was a night that I remember very well when we were on that beach in Gullen in Lothian, and the atmosphere around it and what everyone was bringing and your energy and what we were hearing about cultural differences, and it was pretty amazing. Yeah. I really enjoyed that night. So, and Annie here with us did the course a previous year. So, nice. So there was a bit of a similar atmosphere, Annie, yeah, for you, that you can maybe talk about your experience as well. I hope so.
Yeah, well, that's good. Can share with us, well, how was your experience? If there's any challenges during your course, and how did you build up the network as well afterwards?
Well, I remember, I just read it this morning. I was kind of gathering my thoughts for my participation today. And so I was asked what I would like to get out of the degrowth course. It was in Ullapool, and it was life changing. I met wonderful people. It was affirming of the stuff that I had looked at, read about, but what I said was I would like to try and bring it back to govern, and that's the hard part in a way. And also, I'm just back from Brisbane in Australia.
Nice
people.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would get degrowth going there. Yeah. I never saw so many shops. Shops, cars, cardemic,
yeah.
No pavements, everybody uses cars, lovely cycle lanes with hardly any cyclists on them. And I came via Dubai.
Oh, where nice. The
COPCON, the COPCON, it really is a con this year with that oil.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that, actually.
And, you know, just looking out the window, flying over Dubai, and the energy use must be off the Richter scale. So I've just mentioned bringing decals back to govern, but how we bring it to places like Brisbane and Dubai, they are bigger questions, but it has to be done. I follow these guys, they're called Savers Parents.
Oh, I never heard about them.
They're in Northern Ireland, in Derry, County Tyrone, in County Derry.
Oh, nice.
The Sperrins is a mountain range that's been ruined by Dowry Adden, a gold company, Canadian gold company, who appropriated the name of Dowry Adda. And 25% of Northern Ireland's been given over to mining corporations, and 28% of the South for the thing that they're calling the green transition, the minerals and metals that are going to be necessary. And Luke taught me this phrase, the Javon paradox.
About
energy use. So it doesn't matter if we get better ways of energy, if it creates more and more. And I love the title of Jason Higgins' book, Less is More. Less of the stuff that we don't need, less of the bad stuff, and more healthcare, more growing, more creativity, more art, more health, because wealth and health don't necessarily go together, because health is wealth.
Mm.
Bringing that back to govern is kind of difficult. I don't mean to be patronising, maybe it's because people have been kind of left out of decision making. To bring people in, we've got lots of initiatives, growing community grocers, restoring the park, and getting involvement is like pulling teeth, and that's a shame.
I want to hear from you, and what is your take on this? When people just throw things on the street, litter, and especially the thing we're just talking about now, the vaping. Is there anything you want to say about that?
In Glasgow, not so. And some of that rubbish is the waste from the vapes. We get them all over the park, the plastic, they're awful. Falkirk Council's banned them, so I would like to see councils banning them, because it looks like young people got the smoking message, but they're vaping at 11, 12 years old because they're so sweet and stuff. So it's the human waste, because we don't know, the jury's out on the popcorn lungs and this and that, and the waste that it's causing. That was really interesting, the woman's presentation this morning, who said the lithium that's used in the vapes could be reused. But I'm not usually into prohibition, because banning alcohol didn't work, did it? But I think I would really try and toughen up on young people using these things for the human waste, for the waste of the lungs maybe, and also for the waste that we find in all of the parks and whatnot.
I don't know about you, Luke. Do you think maybe the next degrowth, if there's another course, can we, I'm just asking, like what you just talked about, point out small things that are very dangerous in our environment, like on the streets. Like we talk about vaping. This, for me, I get annoyed with lots of things I see on the street when I walk around, litter and stuff that they're not supposed to be on the planet.
I think you're right, Nico, in terms of if you notice small things in your everyday life, you realise that they're connected to everything else. So you might notice a bit of litter, a vape. I mean, I remember the first time I saw a vape. I was actually walking on Water Row in Govan with Niab at night, and there was wee flashy things in the lawn, on the grass. And I thought, well, they've put lights in for the lawn. And Niab was like, silly idea, that's vapes that people have dumped. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? You know, like there was just, the waste was incredible. And then you start thinking about, how are these things manufactured? Where does the lithium come from? Why are people addicted to mild stimulants? What is it about their lives that make vapes attractive? And you realise that there's so many issues connected in this one small thing that you can really need to get to the bottom of and figure out, you know, what the hell's going on here.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be good to hear what you came across in Dubai when you were passing through, Annie. What we're getting told at things like COP is green growth, sustainable green growth. So we're going to keep the same old system, but we're just going to put a renewable energy battery in the same old machine and just keep it rolling down the road. But it's not possible. It's not possible to sustain the way that we live now, the wasteful, extractive, exploitative way we live now, and simply transition it to net zero or to a kind of sustainable basis. It's the system itself of exponential growth that is responsible for the main drivers of climate change. So to me, that's the link. It's about like saying that, you know, there's a wee bit of a fantasy going on here between the reality of what climate scientists are telling us is going to happen and what we experience ourselves in terms of the global weirding of weather. In Scotland, interestingly, you know, you sometimes hear people say, global warming, oh, that's going to be fine. I wouldn't mind it being a wee bit hotter in Glasgow, you know what I mean? Actually, Scotland could get a lot colder because, in fact, El Nino and La Nina events and the Newfoundland Ridge in the Atlantic that powers the Gulf Stream, Scotland could get colder because of climate change.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's incredibly complex, and the kind of, when you switch on a mainstream news channel or you read a tabloid newspaper, there's no sense of actually what the problems are. So a lot of people really simply don't understand what's going on because there's been a failure of political leadership and also of how the media communicates this, which is why things like alternative citizen broadcasting, like what you're doing, is so important.
Oh, thank you.
Get the message out.
Yes.
Can I just chip in?
Yes, please.
Because the language of climate change, I would prefer to say climate breakdown, climate chaos, because climate change doesn't kind of cover it. But my other worry is around extraction. Luke's partner and I, Nayab and I, were in that copy of Less. Because to get off fossil, I mean, absolutely, no doubt about it, 100%. But it's the same companies, it's the same corporations, and mining corporations are not good. Canadian Mining Corporation, that I've already mentioned, that are operating in Northern Ireland just now. In South America, the Lithium Triangle, Bolivia, Chile, Argentina. Bolivia has brought in China, which I think is very unfortunate. We're trying to lift people out of extreme poverty and hope to use the lithium revenue. But Morales, coming from an indigenous community, wasn't listening to his indigenous community because they're wrecking the aquifers, they're wrecking traditional ways of life. So this green transition, I mean, the Sami in the north of Scandinavia say, might be your green transition, but for us it's already a black transition because they're wrecking the reindeer lands and stuff like that. So it doesn't matter where you look at, Democratic Republic of Congo for the cobalt, voltaic, South Africa, the aluminium, the copper in Chile. There's a good guy that I would recommend people read. He's not an easy read. It's Martin Abeledo. But he looks at the supply chains, the solar panels, Uyghur Muslims in China. So the transition has to be a climate just transition, and those interconnections that Luke was describing. Because that's my worry, that we go from the harm of fossil to the harm of exponential minerals, metals, extraction. So these are the complexities. But I think Luke's right, there is such a lack of awareness, even in people that I expected to know more, because I was on an eco-socialist conference. I would describe myself as an eco-socialist. And the guy made statements that were just not informed. Mm. He was saying that the silica, or the silicon for solar panels, wouldn't cause a problem in Africa, because an African person had said pretty much what I'm saying about extraction, and he said, but it's just silicon, it's not. The composition of solar panels includes aluminium, includes silver, includes copper. So we have to be careful of and the absolute necessity to replace fossil, that we do things within what you would describe as a kind of justice.
Oh, thank you so much, Anne. Look, that's nice. Just to say one word, I wanted to for you to be in the podcast today.
Thank you for asking us, and it's been really great to engage with you and with everyone that's here today in Govan. And yeah, looking forward to hearing the rest of the contributors. Yeah,
thank you so much.
And this is so important, this, just as we're describing, to get the message out. So yeah. Thank you.
That's how it is as well. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Luke and Anne, for the, what a great chat with you. But I'm just going to leave you with a small clip of what's going to happen to the next episode. I'm going to be talking to another two wonderful guests here, two wonderful ladies. They're going to be talking to me on the next episode. So stay tuned. I'm just going to give you a clip to just do a, give you an idea who I'm going to be talking to.
And my name is Katie. I've come up from Newcastle. And in Newcastle, I work as a maths teacher in the college, but I'm also interested in community gardening and community organising and like food, getting good food to people, building culture, sharing music, sharing art, and like dancing and partying.
That's good, that's good. What about you,
Hi, Nick? I'm Nikki. I co-founded Fashion Revolution, which I guess is what brought me to this point here, to degrowth. That was about 10 years ago. And I teach at the Edinburgh College of Art in the textiles department. Yeah. And I was in the fashion industry for about 20 years, which I just saw so many things that were so exploitative that really spurred me to then go found Fashion Revolution. So.
Okay, now you know what to expect on the next episode. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of giggling, a lot of talking, and I'm so excited myself to be part of it. But for now, I'm just going to say thank you again. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year 2024, and stay tuned because we have more episodes to come about degrowth, human ecology for 2023. And please share it with your friends. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Google Play, Apple, and you can just Google it, Siakuma We Talk Podcast. Share it.